The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the December 2023 issue of Scout Life. We're going to begin on page 16. Survive in the snow. Scouts hone their survival skills as temperatures fall into the single digits. Getting lost in the woods can be frightening. Now imagine you're lost and also standing ankle deep in the snow as temperatures plummet below freezing. That's downright terrifying, right? Not if you know what to do. For nearly a month, boys and girls, Troop 427 of Wausau, Wisconsin, studied winter wilderness survival skills. Then they headed out for an overnight outing in the snow. They wouldn't really be lost, but they would practice using skills that would come in handy in case they ever were. Surviving in February, they discovered, comes with challenges they wouldn't have to consider in warmer temperatures. It's a lot different when it's 20 degrees outside, says Andrew Hackle, 12, a Tenderfoot Scout. Be prepared to survive. Whenever you go camping, you don't expect to get into a survival situation, but sometimes things go wrong when you're outdoors. That's why it's vital to understand how to react in emergencies, disasters, or after a poor decision. This is called wilderness survival. Preparing for outings and knowing what to do when things don't go as planned can help you get home safely if anything ever does go wrong. To properly prepare for a winter outing, bring warm clothing, preferably wool. Unlike cotton fabric, wool is warm and durable, and it keeps you insulated even when wet. Synthetic blends are also a good choice for underlayers. You don't want to get caught out in the snow without the gear you need, says Joel Del Conte, 17, a Life Scout. In the troop meetings leading up to the campout, the scouts discussed what they would need and what skills they'd work on. Orienteering, shelter making, and fire building. Out in the cold. Right before the troops arrived at the Samoset Council Primitive Campground in central Wisconsin, it snowed. A lot. About a foot and a half covered the entryway, preventing the troops from entering the camp. We had to shovel it out of the way, Andrew says. As soon as they got through the front gate, the scouts began working on their shelters. After assessing your situation and rendering any necessary first aid, finding shelter should be one of your top priorities in a survival situation. The scouts unloaded a trailer full of pioneering spars and used a sled to drag them to camp. The first shelter would be an enormous lean-to. Setting up between three trees, the group attached spars to the trees about 5 feet off the ground, creating a horizontal bar. They leaned more spars against the bar, securing them using square lashings. Then they laid down a tarp and covered it with hay, which would serve as a warm, cushy mattress on top of the cold ground. The scouts then built a quinzy, which you can make by hollowing out a pile of snow. They used spars and a tarp to give the shelter support and structure. Creating survival shelters turned out to be more satisfying than pitching tents. It's a lot more fun to see something you built be functional, says Carly Peace, 14, a Life Scout. Conquering challenges. Building shelters wasn't the only fun challenge that day. The adult leaders had a couple of patrol contests planned for the scouts, an orienting course followed by a fire building competition. The previous week, the adults had set up the course in the woods, placing orange markers next to sandwich bags. As the scouts took bearings and marched to each marker, they found the bags were filled with matches, birch bark, and dryer lint, perfect fire starters. The fire building contest required each patrol to quickly ignite a small fire underneath a piece of twine stretched nearly 2 feet off the ground. The objective was to feed the flame so they'd burn through the twine. I think fire building was the toughest. Our fire almost went out, Carly says. Campfires keep you warm, and they also help you cook some tasty meals. The troops did all their cooking over an open fire, making brats and kielbasa, as well as Dutch oven beef stew and mountain man breakfast, a delicious combination of sausage, hash browns, eggs, and cheese. The only time the scouts didn't use their culinary skills was during Cracker Barrel, a social time at the end of the day when they sipped hot chocolate and munched on Pop-Tarts. That's real survival food there. Joel joked. Chilled out. As the scouts crammed into their shelters, temperatures dropped into the single digits. I had to keep my saline solution for my contacts in my sleeping bag so it wouldn't freeze, Carly says. Some scouts awoke to frozen clothing. Tenderfoot Scout Michael Gravine, 11, says he and his fellow scouts developed valuable survival skills and enjoyed spending time together. It was pretty fun, he says. Let's look at some of these pictures on page 18 at the top. Scouts construct a lean-to shelter. They scatter straw on a large tarp and place the other half of the tarp on top to form a giant mattress. On the top upper right, Joel Del Conte, Xavier Harl, and Zachary Hawkbarth lash pioneering poles together to form the skeleton of the Quincy Hut. Bottom left on page 18, Olivia Colton takes a bearing with the compass to find the next control point on an orienteering course. And bottom right, Oz Weber clears snow around the campfire area. Page 19 at the top, scouts hang out under their lean-to. Bottom left, Zachary Hackbarth ties the main crossbeam of a lean-to shelter to a tree. Treating hypothermia. Hypothermia is a deadly situation in which your body loses heat faster than it can produce it. Warning signs of hypothermia include drowsiness, confusion, fatigue, and slurred speech. If someone is showing those signs, move the person into a building or tent. Offer them small amounts of warm liquids and get them into dry, warm clothes. Zip them up in a dry sleeping bag and cover their head with a warm hat or the sleeping bag's hood. Watch the person closely and be ready to administer other first aid if needed. Seek medical care as soon as possible. A survival story. During Cracker Barrel, the Girl Scout Master read a fictional short story for the Scouts, To Build a Fire by Jack London. In it, a man struggled to survive in the frigid Yukon Territory. In writing the story, London drew upon his experiences of hunting for gold in northern Canada in the 1890s. His most famous works, The Call of the Wild and The White Fang, were based on that gold rush too. London's connection to scouting goes way back. To Build a Fire appeared in the January 1946 issue of Scout Life, then called Boy's Life, and The Call of the Wild and White Fang are listed in Scout Life's 100 books that every kid should read. Find the full list at go.scoutlife.org/booklist. Scouting Around. How to be trustworthy and loyal. The Scout Law is a guide on how to live. Start putting that guide into practice by understanding the first point. A scout is trustworthy. That word describes someone who can be relied on to be honest. If you're honest, others begin to trust you. Would you trust someone who frequently lies or breaks their commitments? No. Tell the truth and keep your promises. That doesn't mean you must be perfect, but if you make a mistake, it does mean admitting it and trying to make it right. How does that point differ from a scout? Is loyal. Loyal means you are devoted to something, like another person, duty, or ideal. You show loyalty by your actions. If you're a loyal friend, you help your friend when they're in need. If you're a loyal patriot, you support your country and try to make it a better place. Living out the Scout Law reflects on your character. You do your best to demonstrate each point without expecting a reward. The more you put the points into practice, the more they become second nature. Now, how about a comic? Pee-wee Harris looks at snowboarding. Hey, Pee-wee, ready to hit the slopes? Totally, Becca. Just give me a sec to get my board ready. Ready? It looks pretty ready to me. Just wait. I've made some awesome modifications that take snowboarding to a whole new level. Click, snap, ka-chunk! Whoa! I know. Remote control, marshmallow dispenser, mug holder and warmer, GPS and speedometer, first aid kit, battery-powered toaster, cookie caddy, napkins, bread box, peanut butter holder. Pretty airtight and foolproof, eh? Not a single detail overlooked. Not one consideration left unconsidered. Well, sure, it's really cool to remotely dispense marshmallows and have easy access to toast, but where exactly do you put your feet? Think again, Pee-wee. The Wacky Adventures at Scout Life.
And since the frozen lake has frozen over, fishing is a lot harder. I have to bring bait. I can't swoop in from the air. As soon as this lake unfreezes, you guys are in trouble.
Scouts in Action. True story. Nathaniel Attardi, 16, was with his dad, Michael Attardi Sr., at a store in Seagirt, New Jersey, when they saw an elderly man in distress with blood dripping from his shirt. Nathaniel and his dad found a bleeding incision in the man's chest from a recent surgery. They applied pressure to the area and told the store manager to call 911. Mr. Attardi then went to their car to retrieve a first aid kit. Nathaniel and his dad applied gauze bandages to control the bleeding. They took the man's pulse, and the manager relayed the information to the 911 operator. Nathaniel and his dad were able to calm the man, lowering his heart rate and slowing the bleeding. Paramedics arrived, and Nathaniel and his dad gave them the information on the man's condition. They continued applying pressure to the incision before an ambulance took him to a hospital. They later learned that the man was stable and recovering. Life Scout Nanu J. Attardi, top, and his dad, Assistant Scoutmaster Michael D. Attardi, Sr., both members of Troop 59, chartered to Elks Lodge, number 2534 in Manasquan, New Jersey, each received a Heroism Award for their actions. More Scouts in Actions. More true stories of Scouts in Action. He saved his baby from choking. Cameron Aziz, 5, and his baby brother were at home in Glenshaw, Pennsylvania, when the baby began choking on a bottle cap he found under their couch. Cameron yelled to his dad for help as he quickly removed the bottle cap from his brother's mouth. "Dad, help!" Mr. Aziz ran into the living room and picked up Cameron's brother. The baby began to cough and cry, but was not seriously hurt thanks to Cameron's quick actions. Lion Cub Scout Cameron Rankin Aziz, a member of PAC 381, chartered to Fox Chapel Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, received a Medal of Merit for his actions. His cousin fell into a creek. Raylon Prather, 10, was playing with his cousin near a creek by their grandmother's house in Amarillo, Texas, when Raylon's cousin fell into the water. Knowing his cousin couldn't swim, Raylon quickly lay down on the muddy creek bank and held out his arm for her to grab onto. Raylon pulled his cousin back to the creek bank. They returned to their grandma's house, and Raylon brought her a towel. His cousin was not hurt during the incident, and she thanked Raylon for saving her. Roberts Raylon Prather, a member of Troop 89, chartered to Quadardi Heritage Incorporated in Amarillo, Texas, received a Heroism Award for his actions. Good job, Robert. The Nature Crew. Carnivorous plants, bugs everywhere. We don't usually think of plants as predators, but some plants do eat insects and other small creatures. Since they can't chase prey, these carnivorous meat-eating plants have developed some clever strategies to capture their food. Of the hundreds of thousands of plant species, there are only about 800 that are carnivorous. They typically grow in wetlands or forests where soils are wet for at least part of the year. The soils are often poor in nutrients, so plants that get much of their energy from sunlight through photosynthesis need to supplement their diet with insects and other prey. Venus flytraps. The Venus flytrap is probably the most famous carnivorous plant. Native only to a small area in coastal North and South Carolina, it has been established elsewhere in the United States despite the name Venus flytraps eat mostly spiders, crawling insects like ants, and smaller amounts of beetles, grasshoppers, and other insects. The Venus flytrap's hinge snap traps are leaves that look like little clams with big eyelashes. The inner surfaces are bright red to purple to attract insects and have tiny hair-like projections called cilia. When triggered by a bug, the cilia cause the two lobes of the trap to quickly shut, trapping the prey inside. The cilia have to be touched at least twice so the plant doesn't waste energy on a false alarm. Once a bug is caught, it takes 3 to 20 days to be digested and for the trap to reopen. Sundews, which are Venus flytrap relatives, are some of the world's smallest predatory plants. They are low-growing and have greenish to reddish paddle-shaped leaves arranged in a circle. Sundews use a flypaper approach to trap prey. Their leaves are covered in tiny hairs that release a clear, sticky substance which both lures and traps bugs. The name comes from the sticky squid liquid that makes the plants look like they are covered in dew. Pitcher plants. Pitcher plants are found on 4 continents. In North America, they grow mainly in the eastern United States, but some grow on the west coast and in parts of Canada. The name comes from their tubular shape. The pitchers are leaves that function like a pitfall trap. Pitcher plants lure insects with their bright colors. Some also use sugars and odors. The pitcher tops are slippery, and if they prey get too close and fall in, it's hard for them to escape. The victims drown in the pitcher's liquid, which includes enzyme for digestion. Pitcher plants are unique among carnivorous plants in that they also act as shelter for some wildlife that are able to avoid getting caught, including insects, spiders, frogs, and even bats. Butterworts and bladderworts. Butterworts grow in many parts of the world, including North America. Their leaves are succulent. They hold water and arrange in a circular pattern. Butterworts use a flypaper strategy and catch insects with sticky leaves. And, like sundews, prey is digested on the leaf surface where they are caught. Butterworts also produce a substance that keeps insects from rotting while being digested. Bugs and other invertebrate animals aren't even safe out in the water. Some carnivorous plants called bladderworts are fully aquatic, and others grow in wet soils. Bladderworts use suction-like traps called bladders to catch tiny insects and aquatic worms. The bladders are hollow and have a flexible door and hair-like triggers that suck prey inside. Within about 30 minutes, the traps are reset again. Protect rare plants. Many carnivorous plants are now rare or endangered in their native range due to poaching, which is the illegal taking of plants and animals from the wild. You can help protect rare plants by not removing them from their habitats and always purchasing plants grown by reputable retailers. Make sure they are grown in nurseries. Other serious threats to carnivorous plants include overcollecting, habitat loss, and drought caused by climate change. Learn more about carnivorous plants at a local botanical garden or arboretum. The scientific name for the Venus flytrap is Donea Muscipula. It was named for the Greek goddess Diana, whom the Romans called Venus. Muscipula means mousetrap. Their side of the mountain. Laughing and shouting, scouts sprint up a snowy hill, some with snow sleds tucked under their arms. With a rope in each hand, Alec Ware, a 14-year-old life scout, steadily drags 2 polk sleds filled with more snow sleds behind the group. It's a long hill. The group's sprinting soon slows to Alec's pace. Halfway up, they stop and turn around. They're high enough for a fun slide down. Everyone grabs a sled and the laughing and shouting resume. I like sledding. It's really fun, says Tenderfoot Scout Henry King Ring, 13. It's fun to hang out with my friends. Troop 214 in Helena, Montana, spent a day sledding last December, the highlight of a winter camp out in the mountains. Head for the hill. Every winter, Troop 214 goes on a sledding camp out. With the Continental Divide nearby, the guides have plenty of prime places to visit close to home. For their most recent trip, they pitched tents at a snow-covered campground about 14 miles from home. With temperatures hovering below 32 degrees, a few scouts wanted to earn a council award. Some councils offer winter camping awards that give points for camping in sub-freezing weather. If you get 100 frost points, you get a badge, says Scout Yuri Mullen, 12. After a chilly night, the guys woke up and packed the loop trailer with sleds and cooking gear. A short drive over a mountain pass led the troop to an open hill off the highway where they would sled and eat lunch. When picking a hill, make sure the slope isn't too steep and there are no rocks or trees you could hit. You also need to wear warm clothing and a winter sports helmet. Make sure you have on good boots to get good grip, says Bridger Webster, 11, a scout. You should have stuff on your face to block the snow. You definitely don't want to get snow on your face because it gets cold. Let's go sledding. The troop brought toboggans and heavy-duty poke sleds. To safely sled, you need to maintain control. If your sled has a pull rope, flip it around and use it to steer. Other sleds feature a steering wheel or handlebars. You can drag your feet in the snow to manage your speed. Sledders need to watch where they're going, but everyone downhill also needs to make sure they're out of the way. Establish sledding paths and return paths so you're not walking up a hill on the same path the sledders are coming down. You can work up a sweat by repeatedly hiking up a hill. Even though you're in the snow, stay hydrated and bring plenty of clothes to moderate your body temperature. You have to dress in layers and have more gear, says 11-year-old scout Wolfgang Hitz. Fun for all. Later in the morning, Pack 214 joined the troop on the hill. Together, everyone enjoyed the activity and cheered each other on. I like sharing my sled with other people and trying their sleds, says Christian Romine, 7, a Wolf Cub Scout. For lunch, the pack and troop chowed down on grilled hot dogs and hamburgers. Afterward, many of the scouts' parents and grandparents joined them in sledding. The outing helped show why scouting is so fun. You feel very included, and you get to do a lot of fun activities, says Elizabeth Fowler, 10, a Weeblow Scout. Once you get into scouts for a year or two, you start to get to know some of your pack and then others better. You have more fun because you have your friends here, and your family can come and just have a great time. Sledding science. The toughest ride down the hill is likely the first one. That's because friction is slowing you down. Friction is the force resisting motion between two objects. As you sled down a path, the friction between the sled and the snow creates a little heat, which melts the top layer of the snow. It helps if you go sledding when the air temperature is closer to 32 degrees and you're not sledding on fresh, fluffy snow. When you carve out a smooth sledding path, that's when you can pick up speed. Protect your head. Not all helmets are created equal. Each is designed to protect you in certain activities. For instance, a bicycle helmet won't give you the protection you need when sledding. When you're skiing, snowboarding, or sledding, wear a winter sports helmet. Winter sports helmets provide more coverage, including protection from side impacts. Also, many helmets are built to withstand only a single impact. Replace your helmet if it's absorbed the impact of a fall or crash, as the material might be damaged. Have a question asked Jenny and Steve. My little sister and I can't get along while playing games. Whether it's a video game or a simple game of cards, it always ends in a fight. How can I fix this? Steve, I can relate. When I was younger, I flipped out every time my sister won at Monopoly. Three tips. Number one, never let each other win. It will only let the other sibling more mad. Two, try games that suit each of your strengths. In other words, take turns playing games that each of you are good at. Three, cut her some slack. If you extend that courtesy, she might end up doing the same. Jenny, I think you should be straight up with your sis. Don't be nervous to tell her how you're feeling. Even though she's younger, chances are she'll understand your frustrations, and she probably has some of her own. Sometimes, simply sharing your emotions with each other will help each of you be more conscious of your actions. Try mountain climbers. This simple exercise will get your legs strong and flexible for your next big outing. 1. Start in a push-up position with your hands directly under your chest and shoulder width apart. 2. Your body should form a straight line from your shoulders to your ankles. 3. Quickly reverse the position of your legs like you're running in place, bringing your knees as close to your chest as you can. Religious emblems. The Buddhist Scouting Awards give scouts practical guidance to find their path to enlightenment, truth, following the scout oath and scout law by developing views and actions that stem from Buddhist teachings. A scout does not have to be a member of a temple, but must have an instructor, clergy, or lay who is approved by the National Buddhist Committee on Scouting. In Orville's word, back in September 1914, Orville Wright told the world about his and his brother Wilbur's plane adventures in the pages of this magazine when it was called Boy's Life. Read the article at go.scoutlife.org/Wright Brothers. And we'll end with Think and Grin. Justin, knock, knock. Corey, who's there? Justin, cargo. Corey, cargo who? Justin, cargo in the garage. Justin K., Rockville, Maryland. Elizabeth, why was the elf crying? Daisy, why? Elizabeth, because he stubbed his mistletoe. That's from Elizabeth F. in Irvine, California. A beer. What do you call Santa when he's dizzy? Taylor, I don't know. A beer. Faint Nicholas. That's from A Beer M. in Cupertino, California. Zachary, how does Santa clean his hands? Chase, no idea. Zachary, he uses sanitizer. That's from Zachary K. in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. Christian, what's a cat's favorite treat? Eli, what? Christian, Mice Krispies. From Christian D. in Red Wing, Minnesota. Paul, what did one penguin say to the other? Alice, I'm stumped. Paul, ice to meet you. That from Paul D. in Torrance, California. Ain, what do you get when you cross a bison with a chicken? Steve, I don't know. Ain, buffalo wings. That from Ain A. in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. The number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.